It's a pleasure to introduce our next speaker again. He's the president of Edison Research, and he'll show us new information from the landmark Share of Ear study conducted earlier this year. Please join me in welcoming again to the stage, Larry Rosen.
Well, hi again, everybody. I know you're going to be upset because you want to hear more about the Shambhala experiment, and I don't know what it is. And that was, talk about a teaser. Kurt said, well, we didn't get to the Shambhala experiment, but I don't know what that is. Anyway, let me see if my picture can come up. Yes? There it is. So, and I'm going to try to talk really, really fast, like the audio boom guy, because he was awesome, and apparently that works well, so I'm going to try to do the same thing. What I want to talk to you about today is about a question that I am asked all the time. Probably many of you have asked this to yourselves, or maybe even called me and asked this, which is, what is the share of everything in the audio space? What is the relative share of broadcast radio versus online radio versus satellite radio versus podcasts versus owned music, and maybe even other things? And I've come to the realization that while I've spoken at many of these RAIN conferences, I know a lot of you people, not everyone knows who we are at Edison, so I thought I would do a brief introduction. We're actually best known outside of the audio and radio industry, and we're best known as the company that does the exit polls on election night for the major television networks and the Associated Press. The exit polls on the presidential election is the largest one-day research project performed in the world. We collect over 100,000 interviews in one day, bring all that data in, run complex computations on that data, and send it out so that you know who won the presidential election. It's also the most looked at, most viewed research project in the world. I travel the world, and everywhere I go, people say, I stay up all night, or I get up early, or whatever they might do to watch the outcome of a U.S. presidential election. So people all over the world are watching this data, and we produce that data, so we're heading towards the midterm elections. That's the thing we're best known for. In the audio space, many of you will know us from this long-standing study we've been doing since 1998 called the Infinite Dial. For many years, it was a partnership with Arbitron, and for 2014 and for 2015, and hopefully well into the future. We're now partnering with Triton Digital. And you'll know this study as something that's been tracking the world of audio and how it's changing, as well as device ownership and lots of other things. And because of this study, because of this Infinite Dial study, when people try to think who does know the answer to what is the share of everything, it's typically I or my compadres at Edison who get that phone call about what is it. Now, figuring out what is the relative shares of things, you would think you could do it just by looking at data that exists. As you know, of course, Nielsen, formerly Arbitron, tracks broadcast radio using meters in large markets and diaries in smaller markets. Triton, has been mentioned many times already today, is tracking the streams of many pure plays and radio station streams, but not all. But they put out great metrics on their clients and how much listening goes on to them. SiriusXM is an area of great interest when people are trying to think of the share of everything. And SiriusXM doesn't really make much information available at all. They're a public company, and they do publish their subscription levels, their subscriber levels, but they put out no data about how much people listen to their products. So there's really nothing to use if you're just trying to take disparate sources and put it all together. So, like I said, people keep asking me, what is the share of everything if you put it all together? And I always say, I went to business school, I got an MBA, and I didn't learn much, but I did take Marketing 101, and they said, find a need and fill it. And so I said, gee, people keep calling me, keep asking this question, what is the share of everything? Maybe we could do a study and try to answer this and see if there was interest in this. So we, earlier this year, did the very first share of ear study. It's a little different from Edison in that it's a syndicated product. Anyone can buy the data, and we have a number of clients who are already using this product. And it's an attempt to measure the entire world of radio, everything that's going on in the audio world. So this first study that I'm going to show you the results of here was conducted in May of this year, a national representative sample of people 13 plus. The survey was done both online and offline because you can't fully represent the U.S. population with online research to this point. So to measure the totality, you need an offline mechanism as well to get people who are not online or people who are lightly online who are also not represented well at all in online research. We, of course, offered in English and Spanish, as good research does, and we did just under 2,100 people. Again, it's a very robust, nationally representative sample. What this sample did was they took a very detailed one-day listening diary. People were assigned a single day, and we broke the day up into the 96 quarter hours, or 96 15-minute periods, and people had to enter information for all 96 in order to get paid. Even if they were asleep, they had to enter nothing, 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 or what have you. So they had to enter information for all 96 quarter-hour periods. 1/7 of the sample each took the survey on each day of the week, so 1/7 for Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, et cetera. And whatever they were listening to, they told us what the platform of listening was. So was it broadcast radio, like I was saying, internet radio, satellite radio, et cetera? What kind of device did they listen to that audio? Was it a phone, a radio, through their television, et cetera? If they said internet radio, they told us at the brand level what they were listening to. They told us the location of listening, at home, at work, in their car, or other. And they told us the type of content that they were consuming. Was it music? Was it news? Was it sports? Or was it talk and personality? So it created this enormous amount of data that we collected. And what we found is that, on average, people told us that they consumed about 4 hours of audio per day. And so everything that you'll see from here forward, you can sort of, now, of course, this 4 hours is an average. Let me stress that. Some people, of course, there were a few people, a handful of people in the survey who diligently recorded 96 15-minute periods of no audio at all. And in fact, if you found me on the right day, it's very rare, but there's probably a day here and there in my life where I consume absolutely no audio. Maybe I stay at home so I don't get in my car. And, you know, I just watch TV or something like that. There, you know, it does happen. So we had a few people say zero, and we had a few people put in phenomenal amounts of audio, you know, 14, 16 hours of audio listening in their diary day. And 4 hours is an average. Of course, among all those people, on average, it was 4 hours of listening. And so I'm just going to quickly walk you through some of the data that we have. And you already saw, this is the total numbers, and Kurt just showed it to you, so I don't have to go into too much detail here. But this is the only thing that we have put out publicly before. And so Kurt had it, and you may have seen it in the trades or et cetera. And what we found is that broadcast radio, AM/FM radio, accounts for half, a little more than half, of all that listening time to all audio sources. Now that, the question I keep getting asked is, what is that through a radio or through the stream? And the answer is, yeah, any listening to AM/FM radio on any platform is in the big blue chunk there. So a little more than half, or a little over 2 hours of listening to AM/FM radio. And then many of these other numbers in relation are somewhat new. So people told us on average, 20% of their time is spent with owned music, that's CDs or their digital music files, et cetera. As Kurt already pointed out, internet radio or music, that's Pandora, Spotify, et cetera, is 11.6%. SiriusXM, we got it 7.7%. What we found is that obviously only so many people recorded any listening at all to SiriusXM, but those who recorded any listening at all tend to tell us that they listened quite a bit to SiriusXM. If there was any surprise in the numbers, it was the TV music channels. The instructions were very specific. This wasn't watching MTV. This was specifically to what you might think of as cable radio or those channels way up in the 800s that are like Music Choice or on DirecTV. It's called Sonic Tap. And that number surprised people to the high side. But interestingly, like, I use it a lot on the weekends, and I just assumed like no one else was using it. And then everyone I tell that to go, well, I use it a lot, but I didn't think anyone else was using it either. So I have a feeling that a lot of people are using it, and we just don't talk about it very much. Furthermore, I know the guys at Music Choice, and we threw some of those numbers past them, and they have a lot of the metrics to show, yes, they are actually quite big, and they're not the whole category. Podcasts, which of course is a newer and growing area, but remember people only kept a one-day diary, which came in at just a little less than 2%. And then I'm constantly asked about the other, so I might as well mention. People could write in other things, and we literally had to go through every single one of them and decide if it counts as audio. So, for instance, someone would write in, I listen to recordings of sermons that I enjoy from preachers that I like, and we counted that. And other people wrote in, I listen to the wind chimes in the backyard, and we said, we're not going to count that. That doesn't count as audio. So we literally went through every single thing that people people told us and decided what we thought was sort of part of the real audio world and what was not. And that only accounted for another 1.5%. So here's some things you have not seen. This actually is the same information in general, just taking certain parts of it out and showing one new thing. So this is sort of share of radio style services. And this is a number that there's been a lot of interest in. So if you just isolate AM, FM, radio, Sirius XM, and then radio-style audio services. So these would be ones not like on-demand services like Spotify or Beats, but radio-style services. Then if it's drawn this way, you know, there's always been a lot of curiosity about Pandora's self-reported percentage of radio. This is our best attempt at recreating what they were doing. And somewhat amazingly and very surprisingly, we landed on virtually the exact same number that they have when we defined it the same way. So that Pandora, as a percentage of Sirius XM, other internet radio, and broadcast radio, is about 9%. And so that's a number of a lot of curiosity, and that's what we got with internet radio in total, a little less than 14% as compared to AM FM's 75% when looked at this way. If we take out satellite radio as well, here's sort of the percentage of, since it's an internet radio conference, here's the percentage of internet radio as compared to AM FM radio. And this speaks to what Kurt was saying about the sort of ratio comparison of these two. And so we have internet radio at about 15%, AM FM radio about 85%. So there's still, you know, quite a large gap among 13 plus, which was our sample base here, with AM FM radio still much larger. But you know, you saw the various data that Kurt showed where he was attempting to track it over the time. This is our first study, so we don't have tracking for this, although we intend to track it in the future. When you look inside age groups, though, the story starts to change a little bit. When you isolate just 18 to 49, a common buying metric, internet radio grows up to 21%, about a quarter the size of broadcast radio if you look at 18 to 49-year-olds. Pretty much every way we measured it, with, again, that definition of internet radio as radio-style internet services, Pandora is about two-thirds of that category. And then if we go really granular, look at the youngest people, 18 to 24-year-olds, younger people, internet radio comes close to 30% of the total, just comparing internet radio to AM, FM broadcast radio. So AM, FM broadcast radio is still vastly larger than internet radio as of this point, and it'll be very interesting to track over time. If we widen out to the old classic radio buying demo of our money demo of 25-54, obviously AM FM radio jumps up a little bit to 82%. So another set of numbers that people haven't seen before, and I thought these were really interesting. This is reach, and this is the percentage of people who in their one-day diary recorded any listening at all to each of these types of audio. So the first number we see is 72% for broadcast radio. Now, a lot of you are used to seeing the Nielsen reported number of 92, 93, 94, whatever it is percent for the weekly reach or the weekly cume of broadcast radio. And we get a similarly robust one-day cume of 72%. So that, I think, really validates the number in the 90s that you see for broadcast radio over the course of a week. Obviously, if people had enough time to do any of these, the number would likely add up to a number in the low 90s. 40% of people said they listen to own music at any time in their diary day, and only a quarter of people said internet radio or music in their diary day. So you see that there remains all kinds of upside potential for internet radio at this point. Still, only a quarter of people in our sample recorded any listening at all to Pandora, Spotify, et cetera. And you see the other numbers on down the list here. I made this point before, but Pandora, when you look at internet radio, Pandora, people are always saying, well, just how big it is. As compared to other internet radio services, again, defined as radio, as I made the point, it's about two-thirds of the total. Couple other points real quick, and then I'll see if there's any time for questions. When we looked at the total listening to everything, and we asked what kind of audio we were listening to, 80% of everything was to music. Even if you just isolate broadcast radio, it was 70% music. Now, people are listening to a morning show. It's up to them to code that as music or personalities. These are the four choices they have. But music is the overwhelming driver of audio. Obviously, some of these categories, owned music was all music, of course. Music choice was all music. But still, music is the overwhelming dominant force of what drives audio listening, with at least at the total, only 20% going to speech-based or talk-based music audio types. And then finally, we have audio listening by device, and this leads to an interesting point. So 50% of all the listening in the study was done on an AM/FM broadcast radio. You'll remember the first graph I showed, 52% of all audio total was to the platform of broadcast radio. We found that about only 4% of listening to radio was to the streams of radio stations. 96% of the radio listening was recorded, people said, was done on radio, and only 4% was done via the stream. Obviously, the number that likely has a bullet attached to it is the purple number on your screen here, the mobile device. 18% of all audio being consumed on a mobile device as of today, and doubt, you know, obviously that number is up from 0 7 years ago, and a number that doubtlessly we will watch grow as it goes forward. So